Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, I just need to know. Where were you last week? Oh my. We had a good time over here last week on his due time with Pastor Steph. And I really hope you were here with us and you're not listening to this recap. Because if so, I promise you, you're going to have to go back and listen. All right, so we started shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And our topic last week, inmate love, would you wait? Would you wait? You know, we started off asking, you know, if you were just a couple, you know, somebody you were dating and serious about. Would you wait? And the Due Time crew answered accordingly. Oh, if you know the Due Time crew, they had some interesting responses. Well, we stepped it up a notch and we talked about if you were married. Well, we thought that maybe things would change. Well, for some they did and for some, no, they didn't. No, they did not change their answer. And you really don't know which answer we're talking about, do you? So see, that's why I said if you didn't listen last week, you're going to have to go back and listen because they are just as crazy as the day is long. Well, we can't wrap up our, our Monday without getting our switch tip of the week. Well, it show up for you. Yes, that's what we got last week. Show up for you. You know, when you listen to the things that people are going through, you really get to understand how we make our decisions and what kind of decisions we make, you know, at different times in our life. And I have to tell you, Interesting stuff. Are we paying enough attention to ourselves? Are we paying enough attention between, with that relationship between God and us? Yes. Is God and me important? Am I putting that first? Am I showing up for everybody else in every area of my life, but I'm not showing up for me? That's something that you got to think about. Show up for you. You know, that was a real good thought-provoking switch tip. as always, we always get the best switch tips. Always get the best switch tips. So we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. And the question was on. You know, I tell you, church folk will give you something to talk about forever and ever. Amen. Oh, they surely will. You know, a lot of people feel like they can drink. There's nothing wrong with having some sips of alcohol. Well, you know, it's hard to tell people that you can't, because, you know, in the Bible it doesn't quite say that do not drink alcohol. And for some people, they just need those words flat out. Do not drink alcohol. So, you know, we took some time to discuss this thing. And man, oh man, oh man, we had such a good conversation. We talked about the fact that, you know, can you really maintain control? No, really, really, really. Because then what's the point of drinking? What's the point of having that alcohol if we're not going to gain control? Yeah, because ain't that the whole point of drinking? So you can be a little tipsy? Yeah, well, is God happy with that? Is God happy that you really don't maintain your character after you start drinking? So, you know, so we're really going to have to take it out of the context of, hey, you know, God literally said, didn't really literally say, you cannot drink, opposed to what are we like when we do drink? Is that behavior acceptable to the Lord? Yes, come on, we got to start asking the right questions. We got to start saying the right things. Come on now. We really get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. Okay? Come on. So our pastor panel did a fantastic job, as always, on that subject. Well, before we knew it, half of the week was gone, and we were up to Wow Wednesday. And we, you know, we started off with our girlfriend Viv and the socially conscious segment, and I'd like to keep saying that thanks be to God, the COVID numbers are down, and as long as they are down, we can now start getting back to some normal activity, okay? All righty. Well, we also talked about a man who was unfortunately found dead in the head of a dinosaur statue, and you know how he got there? We don't know, but he looked like he was searching for a cell phone. So, you know, I don't know what happened after the cell phone, you know, fell in the dinosaur for some unknown reason. But I will say, you know what? Sometimes we're going to have to consider this stuff a loss. Yeah, because he lost his life. If that's the way it went down, he lost his life over what? A cell phone? We're going to have to just toss that one out, okay? So don't go looking for the cell phone in these crazy places, okay? Well, we spoke to our ladies. Yes, our women of worship were all in the house, and we continued our conversation on ways that the Christian woman can live intentionally, and we talked about her intentionally submitting to her husband, you know, on a regular basis. And oh my goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful conversation we had about that one. Yeah, I did ask the question if hubby turned over in the middle of the night and asked, you know, can I have a turkey sandwich? What you gonna do? Well, you gonna have to listen and to find out what the ladies would do. Okay, well, I forgot to ask Pastor Charlene, you know, what if elder bit turned over and said, hey, babe, can I have some of that hamburger? Ha! What would she do? Oh, that might be that deal breaker right there. That might be the deal breaker. Oh, I forgot to ask her that. But if anybody's listening on a regular basis, we might know the answer to that question. So submit it to the husband. Might have some limitations. Just we walk into the wrong spot, okay? We talked about intentionally being a parent, and that in and of itself can and has taken a whole show. So we really had a good conversation about that one, and we showed the intention to love one another as we celebrated Brother Al getting his Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Arts a couple of weeks ago. Yes. So, you know, we took the time to show him some love publicly. Okay? And last but definitely not least, we were able to hear from our pastor, Charlene, in regards to, you know, she slid that thing on in there, her faith over fear segment. You know, she's kind of savvy like that. We didn't have to give her, you know, any special attention last week. She just did it on her own. You know, when you've been given, you know, faith over fear for almost a year, yeah, you should know how to do that thing, and she does it so well. Well, Thursday came around, and oh, we had some kind of Thursday. Oh, we introduced a new segment. You know, why do we do what we do? There's a whole lot of stuff that we do in life, and we really don't have an answer for it. And so God has said, take a microscopic look at this thing and find out, do you know what you're doing and why you're doing it? Well, we pulled out that good old R.I.P., S.I.P., and for those of you who don't know what that means rest in peace, sleep in peace, sleep in heaven, rest in heaven. Is there any truth? Is it biblical? Are we just saying things, you know, or willy-nilly? Or, you know, do these things really have some biblical connection? Because, you know, as Christians, we have, you know, God is calling us now to step up to the plate. You know, I had Bible study last week, and man, some of these scriptures, oh, they don't give you no out. So we're going to have to really figure out what we're doing. Well, we had a fantastic conversation last week, and come to find out for some that the R.I.P., sleep in peace, have no biblical foundation. And the sleep in heaven, rest in heaven, nah, that one don't have no biblical foundation either. Yeah, those are two newer ones. Rest in peace has been around for a long time. But thanks be to God, we will be the trendsetters and the people in the front who say, no, 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 we're not saying that anymore. Okay, because that's not part of our vocabulary, and we want to make sure we're giving God the glory out of our lives and out of the things we say and do. So we're hoping that you have done the research as well, that you were sitting in on that conversation, and you see that it has no merit, and we don't do anything that does not have any merit but is connected to God. Okay, or these people have connected it to God. All right, well, we had our second new segment that we've added to his due time. It's called Pray for Them. And we prayed for Orlando Brown last week. And everybody knows who Orlando Brown is. If you've seen the movie Major Payne, played Little Old Tiger with Damon Wayans. And, you know, he's experienced some trouble in his young life. Well, we lifted his life before the Lord because that's what we're called to do. We're called to, you know, bring people to the Lord. And they may never know that we're praying for them, but we're being obedient and we're praying for them. So, Shantice decided to target him last week. So we pray that his life will begin to get another boost into the right direction just because we prayed for him. Yeah, I'm saying that because the Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So, hey, we're expecting results, right? Well, hopefully, prayerfully so. Well, ooh, Friday was Men's Day. And we talked about rules to being a godly man. Well, was that some kind of conversation going on there? And yeah. We definitely heard from the men as they talked about being a godly man, meaning he's going to have to love the law of God. Yes. Can't just do it any old kind of way. You know, there are rules to this thing. You know, you got to know how to pray to God, and you got to make sure that that's one of the primary things you do. You got to know the word if you want to be a godly man. And you got to be accountable for the things that you do. Yes, those are some of the things we talked about, you know, about being a godly man. And man, did they show up and show out on Friday. Sent us into the weekend with a big old bang. Yes, a big old bang. And it was an exciting way to go out on Friday. So, thanks to God for the men. All right. Well, today, we're shaking the Monday morning blues together on this Memorial Day. Yes, Memorial Day. We're going to get a little history on what that Memorial Day is. And it kind of snuck up on me. I was like, well, wait a minute. Because, last year we did a little tribute to Memorial Day. So we're going to do a slight tribute today, a little differently than what we did last year. But we're going to get a little information about Memorial Day. And, of course, today is Relationship Day. So we've got some relationship conversation for you. And just the way we want to start off our week, shaking the Monday morning blues together. All righty. So, you know, how's it been going with that with that can of sardines 2 times a week and with that pomegranate juice? What about those shower habits? Did anybody think of those shower habits over the weekend? Oh, I hope so, because I got more. We're going to give our little tribute to Memorial Day, so we're going to put that on the back burner for a second. But, yeah, there's more. I did look, and there's some more we got to come across. All right? So let's get that healthy breakfast. I'm getting ready to give you a quick break, and we're going to get that healthy breakfast going. And make sure you tell a friend that we're shaking the Monday morning blues together. So there's no reason for them, you know, to be all bluesy. You know, some of you have the day off from work because this is a national holiday. So I'm happy for you, you know. We're still going. Yeah, if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, we're going forward with it, due time with Pastor Steph. We don't take no breaks here because you still need the Lord, and I still need the Lord. And God is still calling me to minister, and he's still calling the crew to minister. All righty? So let's get comfortable because we're going to be around for a minute. All right? So thank you so much for joining me today, and I pray that you have a good old time with me. And we'll be right back.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital. I feel like a fish with no water.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. You're all with the due time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes. And for those of you who didn't know, May is Asthma Awareness Month. And we heard from the little baby who says, I feel like a fish out of water. You know, you think about the asthmatics who have a hard time breathing. Can you imagine a little kid going through that? Oh, just broke my heart. You know, and to think of the fact that you can have a moment where you're struggling to breathe, and it's got to be pretty scary. So, you know, do your homework. You never know when you might be around somebody who has an asthma attack. Okay, especially a child. And you want to make sure you're of some assistance to them, okay? If you've noticed, I've kind of changed and trying to focus on, you know, doing some awareness. So even if it's a quick 30-second or 60-second moment that we get a little piece of information, hopefully it'll send you, you know, doing a little research, okay? All right. Well, thank you for joining me today, and we're going to be shaking the Monday Morning Blues, and today is Memorial Day 2021, so we're going to see what we can talk about during this Monday morning, this Memorial Day. All righty, well, they say there's, some information that has been, you know, bypassed when it comes to us on this side of the track and Memorial Day, okay? And now, you know what Memorial Day is. You know, we honor all of the veterans and the people, you know, who are currently serving our country, you know, those who have died serving our country, those who have serviced our country, and those who are servicing our country now. Yeah, you know, we're not talking about them as though they're dead, but we're going to, you know, pay attention to what they've done. And they are saying that approximately 620,000 soldiers died at one point. And, yeah, can you imagine? Woo. 620, that's almost a million soldiers. And they said two-thirds have died from disease. Now, it's interesting because they don't quite say what the disease is. But you know what? When you think about it, there's a lot that they have suffered from. You know, they talked about the Agent Orange. They talked about, you know, all different type of diseases that soldiers have died from. But when you think about the mental illness that they have suffered from, when you think about other things that they have contracted, this is kind of expansive, and it does, you know, warrant some attention, okay? And let's see what they say here. They say that the researchers have traced the earliest commemoration, the annual commemoration, to women who laid flowers on soldiers' graves in the Civil War hospital town of Columbus, Mississippi, back in 1866. And they say, but it actually started even before then. And they were trying to raise awareness. So the freed slaves took the time to decorate the soldiers' graves and to make sure that their story got told too. You know, we're trying not to eliminate anybody. And there's been quite an uproar because, you know, that's not the way they're going to tell a story, right? You know that. And there's a book that was written, Race and Reunion, The Civil War in American History. And it focuses on the fact that the freed slaves and some white missionaries actually took the time to hold some type of a memorial. And they say at the time at least 257 prisoners died, and they marked the graves. So black residents of Charleston decided to give them a proper burial. You know, we were always kicked to the curb, no matter what we did. And you look at the veterans now, and now they're deciding to give them some attention, okay? But going back to our little story here, they say roughly 24 African-American Charlestonians reorganized the graves into rows and built a 10-foot-tall white fence around them, and an archway overhead spelled out Martyrs of the Race Course in black letters. You know, so somebody wanted to take some time to do some things, okay? And what else do we have here? I saw something that I thought was really, really interesting. Let me see. Okay. Oh, here's what I wanted to talk about. They said that in World War II, the U.S. Navy spent $590 million expanding and upgrading the fleet. And the best material to make those stronger ships at the time was, guess what? Asbestos. Oh my gosh. They say that this deadly mineral was used at first because of the low cost, plus its resistance to fire, heat, and degradation. And it ensured that the ships would have all of the elements that it needed in case of war, you know, and going forward, you know, not just the war that was going on at that time, but the war that, you know, that could come up. And they were now trying to prevent their ships from being destroyed. And, baby, once I said the word asbestos, you should have already been shaking in your boots, because they considered this later down the line to be a carcinogen, and it was too late because it could not protect all those thousands of veterans who were already exposed to this asbestos. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so they say that the veterans alone receive a third of the 3,200 diagnoses of mesothelioma. And we've all heard of that. It's on TV, you know, the lawyers, you know, they're doing that class action suit of anybody who's gotten this mesothelioma. And it's a rare fatal asbestos-caused disease, and unfortunately, there is no cure. And here's the thing. They're saying because of its long latency period, the mortality rates only are just now reaching its peak. Can you imagine? Do you understand what that's saying? That's saying that this stuff is sitting in your system. They are, this, oh my gosh, this has been sitting in their system for years and probably getting ill and not even knowing what's wrong with them. And just now, since we've started hearing about the mesothelioma, is why it's just coming up, because it was unknown and undetected. So they've been lobbying to get this some kind of compensation for the veterans for all the asbestos injuries that they have experienced. And they're really not getting the, let's see, well, at least at one point, they weren't getting the response, that's the word I want to use, because the federal government was not supporting it for quite some time. And I guess the more the people were diagnosed with it, the more they had to pay attention to it. But you think, you know, they stopped using asbestos quite some time. And I don't know if you know this either, but they actually had asbestos in the jails. And they were actually paying the inmates to go in and knock down walls and things like this, so that they could rebuild the jails and use the new material. Think about that. Send the inmates in, kill half of them. But, you know, they knew it was asbestos, and they warned them, and I guess they signed all kinds of waivers and things like that, and they went in with quote-unquote protective gear. And, yeah. So this mesothelioma is something that started back from our veterans of the World War II. Yes, Navy veterans of World War II first suffered with this mesothelioma. So now you got a little history as to what this is and how it got started. And yeah, well, it clearly moved from it clearly moved from the war usage. And you know, we have it in a lot of our buildings and older homes and things like that. And so, you know, it's a big issue because, again, for many years they didn't know that this was so toxic. And think about this. We're talking about it today. Think about it. Hey, what happens to all of those places where this material was used and nobody remembered? Yeah, well, they had to do some research and go through even your apartment buildings. And yeah, for those of you who live in apartment buildings, older homes and things like that. Yeah. And if you notice, sometimes when they're doing work in the buildings or work in the homes, they have to, protective gear around the space that they're using, and they're masked up and all kinds of things. But think about how this can still kind of seep into your system, you know, because once that stuff, you start hitting, you know, the material, that stuff becomes airborne. So how many people have really died from this? Well, our veterans, you know, so it's one thing, you're in World War II, so that was one time you survived. You know, you survived that era of your life, and you came home celebrating the fact that you are, you know, you survived the war. But little did you know, you had some toxic component in your body. And again, because it was undetected and unknown, they suffered for many years, not even knowing what was wrong with them. So that's our little Memorial Day, you know, not so happy information, but we shout out to those, you know, who have given their life, you know, for this country, you know, for whatever the reason is they did it, they did. And we are in the good U.S. of A. at this rate, level, awareness, because of the lives that have been given for our country. All righty? So, don't say Pastor Steph doesn't teach you anything. All right? So, what else are we going to talk about before we get our conversation going with our due time crew? Well, I came across an article, and I know one of our due time crew members are going to have a good time with this. And it's they're criticizing Monique for a comment that she made and a suggestion that she made. And I have to tell you, I happen to agree with her. And, you know, we'll get this conversation going. So Monique says, "I'm tired of seeing you queens wearing your bonnets, pajamas, slippers in public." Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, so she put out a video on Instagram. And, you know, she calls us queens. You know, we black women. She calls us queens. And she says, "Listen, please stop wearing what's supposed to be on the inside of the house on the outside of the house." You know, she said she went to, she did a gig down in Jackson, Mississippi. And she said, "I was so shocked and astounded by how many young sisters," she said, "she saw wearing head bonnets, scarves, slippers, pajamas, blankets wrapped around them at the airport." You know, now I could do the slippers thing because, you know, it's not always comfortable to ride in shoes. But good Lord, I do have on some clothes, some regular clothes. And she said, "You know, listen, y'all been calling me auntie. So since you've been calling me auntie, I'm going to take some time to give you some auntie advice." And she's asking the question, you know, when did we lose our pride? When did we stop caring about how we look? And, you know, we need to make sure that we're always representing, not because of our man, not because we're looking for a man, but just because of you. You know, come on. You know, she says, go back to the wiser, older sisters who, you know, put their clothes on, always had their hair did. They didn't walk around like that. So what seems to be your problem? And she said she kind of waited. She didn't come out, you know, when she first saw it because she knows how people are. And she said, I waited. So it didn't seem like I was judging anybody, you know, but I got to say this. And, you know, so she really went into, you know, "I'm disappointed," and, you know, "Hey, let's check ourselves. You know, there's something that's something we need to pay attention to, and we really need to represent ourselves." And I happen to agree. I was out a couple of weeks ago, and I was in one of the little clothing stores or whatever, and I happened to look over, and there were these two older ladies, and one of the ladies was fully, you know, she was dressed, hair did, regular clothes on, and then I looked over at the other one who she was helping shop, and she had on this bonnet and her sweats and her sneakers. And I just kept staring at her because she was an older lady. And I'm saying to myself, why Why? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, just recently I started, you know, the ladies started keeping my hair, you know, done. But I was not always a hair person, but Lord knows, I ain't never. My kids can tell you, if I pushed it back in a ponytail, if I twisted it and wrapped it, I never walked out my house with a scarf on. You know, put a hat on, put a baseball cap on, you know, being that it's, you know, the weather's changing or something like that. That ain't as bad, you know, as putting a bonnet. Isn't a bonnet for when you're going to bed? The pajamas have been killing me. You know, they're leaving the house with the little flannel pajamas with all the little design on it, and, oh, they're coming out with the slippers on. And I'm saying to myself, now, again, I don't dress the way my girls dress, you know, and other women dress, but I don't go out like that. I've never gone out like that. And I agree with her. Why are we taking the clothes that we're supposed to be going to bed in, lounging around the house in, and we're wearing them out in the street, you know? So check this out. So now she has people that are upset with her. Yeah. Yeah, there's some people that, you know, she got some feedback. You know, they said that she was being a hypocrite because she was wearing her bathrobe in her video message. But if she was in her house, maybe that's what she was trying to show. I don't know. I didn't talk to Monique. But, you know, and maybe some people may say, well, then you need to be dressed if you'll put a video on. Remember we talked a while ago about, you know, these entertainers who have to be on point as they're in their videos. You know, you can't be in there with your head undid. And, you know, there's a whole lot of pressure to be a whole lot of things. But when you leave your house, you know, aren't you representing your husband or your man? And she said, young sisters. So she's even challenging the younger ones. You know, these are the, yeah, this is the thing. Let me tell you something about people. Especially us on this side of the track. We will turn a trend out of anything. Yup. You know, where somebody quickly ran to the store. You know, we saw somebody in Walgreens. You know, they had to pick up some emergency medicine. So, you know, you didn't take the time to get dressed and you ran to the store. And somebody saw it. And what they did it, and then another person saw it, and they did, and now it's a trend. Yes, that's what we do. Everything is a trend. Well, Minister AJ has always said he does not want to come home from a hard day's work and see his wife in a bonnet. And I'm dying to know what he thinks when he sees the bonnet out in public. My goodness gracious. You know, we're going to have to get ourselves together here. Well, it's time to talk to our due time crew. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Ooh-wee. I need to be asking, how are you? Do I need to give you a chance to catch your breath after that before we start talking?
Yeah, I need some pomegranate juice.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I can tell. Anytime you can belt that out, you are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, welcome to the beginning of the week as we shake the Monday morning blues together. And we're talking about, you know, our veterans who have been suffering with this mesothelioma, you know, since back during World War II. And now it's gotten the momentum it's gotten because so many people have shown up with it. But for a long time, they've walked around with it and didn't even know what they were walking around with. What do you think?
Yeah, that my heart goes out to them. It really, really does. You know, first I would like to say to both my sons, you know, I have a son in the Army and a son in the Navy. Thank you for your service, gentlemen. So yeah, it goes out to my heart because, you know, again, I got kids in the service. You know, at any point they can be deployed, and you know, who's to say what they come back with and not know what they're coming back with. You know, and it hadn't been addressed because no one knows, you know, of the scenario or the situation. So yeah, it's kind of close. You know, when you started mentioning that subject, it's kind of close to my heart.
Yeah, because you, like you said, you think about Agent Orange, you think about all the other stuff, you know, that they have gone away. They go away to fight a war, but they come back with so many other things. I think about mental illness. You know, they come back mentally ill.
Right.
And our country hasn't taken care of them very well. How many of them have been with the cardboard, homeless, things like that? And you think, you know, wow, they have actually served our country. And they come back to nothing, pretty much. And that's so heartbreaking. That is so heartbreaking.
It's kind of disrespectful because, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, Uncle Sam, who's supposed to be the greatest man, says we want you. So I'm good enough to fight for you, but I'm not good enough to be protected.
Absolutely. Or taken care of afterwards.
Right.
It's almost like you're good enough to serve, you know, in the Army, but after that, we don't give a daggone about you.
I'm good enough to die for you. But I'm not good enough to live for you.
Absolutely. And that's pretty much what your unspoken words say when they come home, and they cannot rely on us for anything. You know, so just recently they started pushing, you know, the veterans to the top of the list for homes and housing and, you know, all these benefits that they're pushing now. And we give God thanks, you know, for this, you know, now some awareness and that they're getting treated a little better. So we give God thanks for every step that's taken in regards to that. Monique is sounding an alarm to our peoples, our queens. You know, stop wearing your pajamas, your slippers, your bonnets, and all of that into the public. Well, what do you say?
Well, I shout, and I'm doing a dance right now. I'm totally in agreement. You know, most of you know I work in retail, and when I tell you I see all the outfits, I see the outfits from the thongs. I see the outfits, and this is not jokes. These are serious. I see thongs with the lace cover up. I see pajamas. I see the bonnets. I see the robes with no bra on. You know, some of the things you got to lift back up. I mean, they don't stay up forever. You know, I mean, we got to do something. You know, I've seen all type of stuff, and my thing was, did you not have a mirror before you left the house? Not only that, you know, where was your husband? Or your man, or your mother. Did no one see you? And then, lastly, my question is, you know, are your friends really your friends?
Nah.
Because I'm telling you, if I saw Minister AJ in 4 shades of pink, I'm going to pull him to the side and say, hey, bro, that don't match. You know, so what kind of friends do you have that will allow you to go outside not only with you or by themselves like that? And lastly, if you have little girls, if you have children, look at what they're looking to. Look at how you're mentoring them. So you're saying that's okay to go outside like that. So now we understand why the children's looking like a ragamuffin, because you're a ragamuffin.
Absolutely. You know, I talked about the lady who went out with her friend, and I don't know if one picked the other up. I don't know if they both met on the Ave. I don't have a clue, but all I know is if I arranged with Pastor Charlene, and I went to meet Pastor Charlene, and she showed up in a bonnet, I'd be like, yo, Pastor Charlene, really?
Is that all you had?
Yeah, I'm like, come on, Charlene, why you didn't tell me you needed an extra hour to do something with the hat? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm dead serious. And I'm telling you, I've never been, you know, one of those women
right.
who, you know, you decked out. And but no, I'm like, Charlene, come on, come on, come on, come on. Because I love you, sister. She always calls me sister. And so I'd have to say to her, sister, let's slide on over here to this vendor with these hats. And let's find you one.
Right.
My treat. My treat today. Because I love my sister. But we not going to do the bonnet. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure, you know, based on where you say, you know, you go every day, you've seen some sights. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. And, you know, she asked a very good question. Where is our pride? What happened to our pride? Because, you know, your mama and your grandmama ain't never left the house looking like that. That ain't happened.
But you know what? You know what? And you know, I put this on a post the other day. You know, you don't have pride or you don't have knowledge because your grandmama is 33.
You got that right.
You know what I mean?
And she wearing the bonnet. Like you said, she wearing the bonnet.
And she wearing the bonnet and the thongs because your child had a baby at such a young age, you had to take care of that child because, you know, you was 28, you know what I'm saying, at that time. So now, you know, you got rid of your child and her child. Now you trying to live your life. At 33.
Right.
You're sitting down somewhere.
Yeah. Got that right. Well, it's true. You know, the fact that we do have younger grandparents and grandmamas, yeah, they have not gotten to the point where they have, you know, become a big mama or, you know, the grandmamas that we knew. You're absolutely right, Pastor KL. Lord have mercy. What are we going to do with these folk? What are we going to do with these folk? We're going to pray for them, Shantice. We're going to pray for them. Oh, my. Oh, my.
We're going to have a clothes drive.
Oh, man, we surely do. We surely do need the clothes drive. Well, thank you so much, Pastor KL, for joining us this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's say
ma'am.
Good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. I got it on waiting.
Oh, my goodness. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. Thank God.
Good.
How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. I could have used a holiday today and just kept flipping to sleep. But you know what? I got my family and my peoples I got to join today. So it's Memorial Day, Pastor Charlene, and we're paying tribute and, you know, respect and, you know, saying thank you. You know, not that they can hear us, but you get my point. To all who have served and given their life for this country. And we've been talking about, you know, this mesothelioma that they contracted way back from World War II when they used this asbestos material to, you know, build the ships and things like that. And for years, they've been walking around without knowing, you know, that they have this agent in their body, and they've been slowly dying. You know, what's your thought?
Well, first I want to say I salute them all that have served. My husband has served also in the Air Force. And I thank you all for that are listening that have served or someone that you might have. It is so sad that now after all of these years that, you know, now they're finally when they go in to take a physical and they didn't have it, they should have had continued by them being all over the world to be able to have that medical where that they're able to do that. You know, it's just so sad that they are so sick. I go with my husband sometimes to the VA and just to see how they're struggling and, you know, and how they really don't take care of them the way that they should because they serve. You know, I was listening when you were saying also about, you know, of their living quarters that, you know, it is so many that's out there that's on the street that, you know, is that they don't have a place because you can tell by they come into the VA just to get warm and, you know, and just to get, I think they give them like a sandwich and a juice, you know, just to feed them because so they can just get off the street. But then when they close the building, they're back out on the street again. It's just so sad of their illness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's they haven't done right by these individuals. And, you know, why would you possibly be homeless? You know, I just read an article, Pastor Charlene, about some states. The government has given them so much money, these states, and some states, I guess, don't have the same need as other states. And they have all this money sitting around, and they don't know what to do with the money. How in the world don't you know what to do with the money? And all these states have homeless problems. All these states have veterans that are not taken care of properly. What do you mean properly? What do you mean you don't know what to do with the money? I could think off the top of my head 10 things. You could drive around your neighborhoods, and you can see. But if we target the veterans, you know, come on. Come on, come on. Them alone can eat up all of any, you know, level of funding that you have. So it's crazy. Quite crazy.
Absolutely. Because you know that they need some place to live. You know that
absolutely.
They need food. You know, the system
right.
basic alone, you know that they
right.
need that. So the money could be spent in so many different ways.
Yeah,
you know, and
absolutely.
Some of them that do get a check, you know, some people that they might know might be abusing them and taking their money. So there's another way of taking them out, you know, safety or safety
right.
issues too, you know. So it's a lot.
Right.
So they can't say that there's no way of spending that money.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe it.
They'll take care of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know, I know what to do with it. Give it here. I'm with you, Pastor Charlene. Hand it over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about Monique's statement today, shifting gear. We're talking about Monique's statement, and she said, listen, I'm traveling, and I'm looking at you young sisters and all you other queens who decide that you're going to wear your bonnet, your pajamas, slippers, and all kind of bedroom attire. In the public, please, come on. Let's pride ourselves in how we look. And she got backlash from it. What's your thought about going out in public like that? You know, you heard me tell Pastor KL that if you kind of said, well, sister, I ain't feeling it today, but I didn't want to tell you I couldn't meet you, I'd be sliding you over to that vendor in Harlem. Come on, Charlene. Come on, baby. On me today. What do you think?
Well, one, I agree with Monique because I'm tired of looking at it myself. I does not go and stay in the house. Stay in the house. I'm tired of looking. And then you're going to put the slippers on when your toes is out, and they're not even polished. They got half on and half off. You know, I'm tired of that, and you ain't got the best pajamas on. At least be fly. They don't even be fly. Because when I meet you, I'm going to have my silk bonnet on. I'm going to have my silk pajamas on. I'm going to have my silk slippers on. And I'm going to have my Gucci bag. And I'm going to be ready when you are ready and we going out. Because I'm going to pick you up.
Oh, my goodness. And when you pick me up and I'm looking down in the car, I'm like, yo, Charlene, really? You're looking fly, but not in the pajamas. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, you know,
but it's a mess. Mm-hmm. I got a story for you, and this just happened a couple of months ago. I know y'all are gonna be ready for this because I was living. I was on somebody else's Zoom service, and the preacher that was preaching had one on a silk one.
No!
And when I tell you I was living, I couldn't hear nothing, I couldn't see nothing but her. And no, she was not in her house. Okay.
No.
When I tell you I was done, I was done. And I was trying to find a way how to tell her. But I know it wouldn't have came out too nice, so I just kept it. I had to shut it down. I couldn't see nothing.
A message was late in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around. I said, her message was late in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around.
Oh, my. Are you serious?
Yes. And I was done, and I'm like, how dare you? How dare you? Even though, you know, it was dressed down, okay, but that was a bit too much. That was really a bit too much, and I was, I couldn't even hear. I was like, you know what? Girl, bye.
Wow, Pastor Charlene, you got to be kidding me.
So that's how far they're taking it. You know, it's not. And she had it, like, cocked to the side. What the heck?
No!
The she had it. It was silk. It was like the, it was silk, and it was cocked to the side, had the earrings on, all that. All that. So, and
no.
I was just done. I was. Yeah, we taking it too far. I said if I was close, I would have just, well, I'm on the air. I got to keep it churchly. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I'm
wow.
Like,
so wait, let me ask you. It wasn't like a close, and I'm not saying it should have been, but I'm asking. So it wasn't like a closed service? Like, okay, so like me and my congregation or you and your congregation, it was open?
It was open. It was open because there was a lot of people that was from different, you know, different ministries.
Oh, my.
And it was
wow.
open. It wasn't like, you know, we doing a study. It wasn't like that. It was preaching where they was texting it out to people where they, you know, want that, all that.
Wow.
I was just. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I saw it in the stores like everybody else walking in the street, you know, and I was having issues with that too, you know. But when a preacher, you preaching and you what? What are you showing? What? Oh, man. I was
wow. Okay. You know, now you're right. We have definitely tipped the scale. Wow. Well, Pastor Kale, that might have beat out what you looking at over there.
Well, Pastor, then I have a question for you, Pastor. Then how do we direct the people where it says come as you are?
Come on now. Come on. I see, that's why I don't – let me tell you something. One thing about me, there's a way I say things. And I'm telling you, my congregation will tell you. I don't use phrases like that openly. And that's like
right,
to stop
right.
saying everything. Because if you tell – that's what people get – you're right, Pastor Kale. People get hung up on what Jesus said, come as you are. I don't say that. When I talk, I speak thoroughly. You know, I will tell them, you know what? To when you come here, you know, to this ministry, we don't look at your attire because we understand that, you know, you may not have it, and God works from the inside out, and, you know, he will bless you to have it. If you need it, we'll help you. But in due season, when you do get the means to, you know, instead of buying those next pair of sneakers, think about the fact that you have, that you're going to service now. Buy that skirt and blouse, because that's going to be a whole lot cheaper than them sneakers. And now you bring your best to God. See, there's a way you
right.
say things. See, when we just start throwing out, Pastor Kale, you right. We start to go, come as you are. This what happens. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. What do you say, Pastor Charlene? Because I was too hot and just jumped out on that one.
I saw. Whew, I feel the steam over here. what I have done, when they have come into the school, you have to give your best, whatever your best is. I don't want, you know, when you bend over, I don't want to see you crack is wet. I don't want to see all jump out. When they come in with a scarf or whatever, I will have, like, combs and brushes in my office. I would say, here, you need to go and unwrap your hair, and you need to go and pull it back in a rubber band, you know, and even with the guys, you cannot sit in here with them do-rags on because they think if they take their hat off, that the do-rag is okay. No, all of that must come off. And then they'd be like, oh, but my hair, whatever, all that. Okay, well, you knew that before you got here. So it's not okay for you to look like that. It is not okay. Braid your hair down, whatever you need. You cannot come to God any kind of way. And you're right, Pastor KL. People do say that when, well, you said I could come. Yeah, but that's with your burden. You know what I mean? That don't mean, and I know that when you went out, I know when you went out, you was looking good the other day because
that's
you already
right.
done put it on Facebook. You done had texted out. You know what I mean? So it's not that you don't have no clothes. Just as well as when the musicians come. Y'all cannot come in here any kind of way. Who are y'all representing? You got 6 days to look like that. The other day, come on now. Let's work this out. And they would get mad, but they'll come in with it. All right, that looks better than what you had on last week. Because if you came in there with some pajamas in or what you call them, bull, come on now. I'm going to start doing some shirts and stuff.
Do we answer your question, Pastor KL?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't starting no records. I just wanted the people to understand on the other side of the thing. Because I'm in total agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
So how would you answer?
Right. We do have to be careful. I'm sorry.
I would answer the same way. I mean, you know, like Pastor Charlotte said, when you go out, you know, you give the clubs your best. And you know what the funny part about it? The clubs are dark, so they can't even see you. But you give them your best.
Right.
You got on your best hair. You got on your best shoes. The eyelashes are blinging. You know, you got on your best. But you're going to come to Jesus looking like any way you want to look. And then when you get yourself in trouble, the first person you're going to go to is Jesus. You ain't going to the club.
Right.
Because the DJ on the ones and twos can't do nothing for you. So, listen, in fact, the DJ is saying, last song, you got to get out of here. With all your problems, you got to get out of here. But in church, you can take your burdens to the altar and just leave them there. You can't leave that stuff at the club.
Yeah,
that stuff
you can leave
to go
them there,
with.
But they ain't going to get no results.
That's right. That's
you
right.
leave them there, Pastor Kale, but you ain't going to get no results. You
right.
go back, they're still going to look the same way they look when you left them there.
Well, the club going to give you more burden.
Yeah, that's right.
Going to give you more
that's
burden.
Right.
You know?
Right. You may leave something there, but you're going to take something with you at the same time. That's a good question. That's a really good question because people like to throw things out like that. You know, when Jesus is coming, I can't even tell you how many times I heard that garbage. Like, you know what? And I say the same thing to them. I say, if somebody invited you to a wedding, would you go looking like that? When you go out to an interview, would you go looking like that? No. You going and you're going to get your best. Whatever that best is, you're going to give it your best. And so God should get your best also. He should get your best first above and beyond everything. So, you know, you got to have an answer for these people. You got to have an answer for these people. But thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning
to Pastor Steph. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. I just wanted to say this. I've been to weddings. We can't even say that anymore because they're wearing any and everything at weddings nowadays, too. People are not dressing how they should. But when it's pointed gear on them of looking for something, like we said, at the club, they get dressed up. But if you look, some weddings, a lot of people are not even dressed appropriate for that because I've been where they wear jeans and sneakers, and they're not even getting dressed anymore even for that.
Well, you know what, Pastor Charlene? I guess people are seeing what you're seeing because we were just invited to a wedding, and she made it known this is the attire, a tuxedo, not a suit, a tuxedo for the men. She even gave pictures and a diagram, and she said for women, you have to wear a black floor-length gown. These people, so yeah, they must be looking at the same thing you looking at and saying, oh, you ain't coming to no jeans and sneakers on my dollar. And then said, would you rather be on virtual or what? Do you wanna attend in person? Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. Yes, she did. Because like you said, you know, hey, people coming in there kind of wearing anything. I'm still trying to figure out how people getting jobs these days. But look at the courthouse. You know, you used to see the attorneys, the women attorneys, they'd have on their suit, you know, their nice shoes. Now, goodness gracious. Oh, let's move on because we ain't never going to stop talking about these folk. Oh, but thank you for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
How are you today? You good? God tapped you on the shoulder, told you to get up,
yep.
And you here with us right now, right?
That's,
see?
That's exactly what happened.
I know you.
That's exactly what happened.
I know you. I know you. Well, we're saluting, you know, the veterans today for Memorial Day. We're, you know. They can't hear us if they've already gone, but we're saluting them today. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, back in the day, you know, they contracted some diseases. And, you know, for years they didn't know what was going on. And, you know, well, what's your thought?
We definitely want to salute the, you know, all the veterans and people who are in the services that help protect the country and protect us. You know, definitely want to give a shout out to them. They don't take care of soldiers like they should. You know, I had two uncles that fought in the war, and they was going through so much that they were alcoholics. And I could sit there and just watch my uncle just drink his life away because he was going through so much. And I remember him telling me a story like he took his shirt off. And he had like you could it looked like he had been sewn together. And he was saying how he had got shot up and he got shot up and, you know, he told his partner, yo, I'm done. Just leave me. And the guy would not leave him. And the guy tied him to his body and drug him out of there. And he just constantly got flashbacks. And I could just sit there and just watch him drink after drink, him and my other uncle. And I was just like, wow. And I asked him one day, I said, oh, cousin, why you drink like that? He said, it helps me get rid of the pain. It helps me not to remember. And you know, and I look, and like I said, I look at this country on, you know, there should not be not one homeless veteran out here.
That's
not
right.
One.
That's right.
All
That's
the
right.
stuff they did for this country should not be one. And like you said, they didn't take care of them properly. You know, I understand back then, you know, they didn't have stuff to. Okay, let me give you a shot for this, or let me give you a shot for that. But as technology rolls, you know, take care of these people, man. These people put their life on the line. You know, they see so much. I mean, they see so much death. Like my uncle told me, he saw so much death that, you know, he had to drink to not see it.
Wow. Yeah, they come back. You can remove them from, you know, Vietnam and, you know, Korea and all of those places, but you can't take that memory from people. You know, whatever they experience, you can't take that from them. And, you know, can you imagine them coming back and, excuse me, now they're homeless. They don't even have a home to go to. You know, like when they were out fighting the war, they were living, you know, in bunkers and things like that, and they can't even come back home and find anything. So, you know, shout out, and we're saluting your uncles, you know, Elder Beard. We're saluting you today, you know, for, you know, what you did for our country, and we you know, we thank you for it. We thank you. So, shifting gear, we're talking about Monique's statement about how our queens and young sisters are just out representing madness, bonnets, pajamas, slippers, all the stuff that you need to be in your house wearing, you're out in public wearing. You know, as a man, you know, Pastor KL has spoken. What's your thought?
Tacky, tacky, tacky. Oh, you haven't seen nothing. Pastor KL, you know, he works, you know, in retail, and he's able to see it. You want to see something? Work at the school and watch people bring their kids to school in the morning. I'm just sitting there, and
wow.
I'm just like, wow, you just couldn't throw on a pair of sweatpants and a hat. You know, I've seen a woman come to school and bring her child in. She got on a full robe, and she don't have on a bonnet. She got on the shower cap. And I'm looking at her like, really? Like, you know, and then come in and talk to me. Good morning, Mr. Al. Don't call my name. I don't know who you are.
Wow.
Don't talk to me. And the stuff
wow.
that they, you know, or they'll put on a pair of the leggings that's straight see-through. And I'm sitting there, wow, like Pastor Kel said, they got on the shirt with no bra on, they're size triple D. And I'm like, serious? Like, are you serious right now? I'm like, wow.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And
amazing.
You got to see it. It's crazy. It's insane.
Amazing.
And it's so tacky. I always say, well, so people getting up, going to the store. You know, I get up, okay, I'm doing something quick. I throw on a pair of sweatpants or something, and shirt go, and you should see them going to the store. And like you said, with the slippers on and everything, and I'm just sitting there like, wow. It's just tacky, very tacky.
Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And I have, you're right, I have seen them with the shower cap, the plastic. I've seen them with the clear shower cap, and I've seen them with the plastic one with the designs on it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they think because they got a design on it that it's fashion.
sad business. Thank you, Brother Al, for checking in and being a part of our day. Let's say good morning to Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you. Girl, our veterans, what are we talking about today? How would you like to salute them? And what are your thoughts?
I'm all of them. I'm just grateful for those, and as mentioned previously, that they definitely cannot hear it, but just so grateful for what they have done, you know. And I was enlightened recently by someone else's post that, you know, because a lot of times when you don't serve, you don't know. One of the things that I was enlightened to was that Armed Forces Day is for those who are still in their uniform. Veterans Day is for those who hung up their uniform. And then Memorial Day is for those who never made it out of their uniform.
Right.
And so
right.
with that in mind, I am grateful for all three. And of course, those who definitely never made it out of their uniform, for the lives that were given. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, for what you have done for us. And then going on to the veterans, you know, those that have served and have come back. There's so many mental, emotional, physical things that, you know, we can't even identify with. And I remember, you know, asking questions. And most of the time they are tight-lipped, and it's not because they don't want to tell us. It's that we can't even fathom what they went through, you know, and our lives with everything that we've gone through can never, you know, match up to the things that they've seen and the sounds that they've heard and the sights that they've seen, you know, and they come back and they should have it made. I mean, there should be nothing that you should want as a veteran.
That's right.
And the thing that, you know, they come back, they go to the hospitals, and they're barely taken care of. You know, I remember riding the subway one day, and this guy was just talking. And, you know, he appeared to be homeless, and people were laughing at him. But I started listening to what he was saying, and I was like, no, he served. Just the mannerisms and the things that he was talking about, I was like, he served. And the last thing in the world that he should be is homeless on a subway.
Right. That's right. That's right, Tamika. You know, as you were talking, I remember that I know someone who was very close to me, and he was responsible for the dead bodies. He would be the ones, you know, when we see on TV the one, they have them in the bags and they throw them to the side, and, you know, they have to bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of his responsibility to bag up the dead bodies and, you know, put them in the respective places. And like you said, we can't even fathom, you know, the handling the dead, not just a dead body. This was your responsibility in the Vietnam War to bag. This is what you had to become comfortable with in a way. Mm. You didn't even have an option of doing that. So you're right, you know, with eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard the things, and we could never understand it. So you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Our bonnets, slippers, pajamas. What you got to say?
Oh my goodness. The first thing I want to say is, sister, you're doing too much. Sister, the bonnet and PJ's girl. Sister, please take all those things back home. way too much. And I don't want to take up too much time, because I know there's someone right behind me that's got lots to say. But
okay.
I went to an Applebee's, and I saw four young ladies with four bonnets. One was satin blue, one was leopard print, one was red, and one was black. And I was completely amazed. Like, you're going to come into a restaurant, an establishment, and eat, and this is how you present yourself. I was completely floored. My grandmother, whom, you know, taught us everything that there was to know, there was one thing that you did not do. You did not wear scarves. You did the one thing that you did was you made sure you were presentable, and that was everything, not just your face, you know, your attire. We didn't even wear scarves outside. And my personal opinion, if I see you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with PJs and those fuzzy slippers, which I can't stand, they all need to be burnt. I'm sorry, but that is the way that I feel. If I see you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with those things, to me, it tells me you have not washed a single thing. Because you can't tell me you got up first thing in the morning, you washed your face, you washed your body, and you put on PJs and slippers. I'm sorry. I apologize. No, I don't. I don't apologize. Not for this one. I'm sorry. I don't.
Wow. What about those, I guess they're a sort of slipper also. They come with the, what do you call that thing there? It's like a slipper, and you slide in, they have all that fuzzy over, there's a strap in the back that holds it onto your foot, and they're really flat, like slippers. But there's some kind of shoe.
No, ma'am. All of that needs to go in the same box. Take it in a box, wrap it up real good, lock it, and throw it in the deepest sea. No, we're not wearing those.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it's, you know, Pastor Kale says he's seen it, you know, all, and Pastor Charlene talked about. Oh, what about the pastor? What about the pastor who Pastor Charlene said she saw on, you know, on Zoom with her? No, wait, Tamika, wait. The bonnet was cocked to the side. And she had her earrings on.
No, that is a big, absolute no. And then my thing is, like you said, if it was a closed circuit, it's just a few members, you know, even when we get on Zoom, if that was, you know, something that you chose to do in jest, and we have done it in fun, but just an open forum where anybody can see, and that was your presentation. So what message are you giving to anyone else? So obviously,
right.
If you did it in an outside forum, then obviously you're okay with your membership coming in that way. That's a bad message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you gonna do when you go to live church? I can't even understand the message that she was
trying to send.
Wow.
That's a scary sight. I'm not coming.
It is.
I'm not coming. I'm going to stay home. I'm not coming.
And I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Brother Al, I forgot to ask you about, you know, you get on Zoom and, you know, you now see the preacher bust out with the bonnet and earrings cocked to the side. The bonnet is cocked to the side. So we're clearly trying to be stylish. What's your thought as a congregant?
My thing is, where am I? This sounds like a thug church to me.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
I got to go. You know, I wonder what your message is about. And, you know, her message probably was, come as you are.
Well, maybe. Maybe. We couldn't even ask Pastor Charlene because she said she actually got zoned out. When she saw that, because I'm with her. I don't think I could have heard or saw anything either.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have heard nothing.
My
she
goodness.
Said.
No, I don't think many would. I wonder if you go back and survey the other Zoom members, would they be able to tell you either? Because I don't think anybody would have gotten a lot of attention from that. So, but thank you so much, Tamika, for joining us this morning. And we know if there's anybody who wants to talk about this thing here, it's our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning, Yiggity Yang, Yiggity Yang Yang.
How are you?
I am doing quite fine. And how are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. I am well. Oh, Memorial Day tribute. What you got to say? What do you got to say for the people who served this country and died for us and, you know, did all that kind of good stuff, and then they don't even get any proper treatment even after they're gone?
I mean, I definitely would love to salute all those that have served and those that are still serving. I have a brother who went in the service. And it's just sad the way they treat him. You know, when I had the opportunity, I chose to go in as a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I'm glad I did because, you know, over there, they'll never leave you nor forsake you. They will take care of you. So, but it's really sad, you know, that so many have served for our country and now they can't even get stuff like health insurance. It's really bad. You know, and if they don't know what to do with the money, they can definitely bring it over here. I will set up something nice.
Wow, wow, wow. What about this mesothelioma, you know, this asbestos that they were exposed to, and for years nobody even knew that they were carrying around, you know, this stuff in their body, in their system, and they suffered probably with many health issues until they found out what it was.
That's really sad. You know, when you think of the service too, the Army, normally, like, these are people who sometimes get to go to school for free. So I'm like, you're giving out all this free education, but we don't have the top doctors and health specialists that's on it making sure that, you know, that their bodies are correct, I'm a little lost. Just a tad bit lost, you know. Some people go into service to go to school for free. And,
right.
You know, you
right.
can send them to school for free, but then now we, especially if they're serving the country, they should have the best doctors, the best lawyers. Even sports teams have their own doctors. So I feel like if you're going in the Army, you should have the top doctors, and they should be the ones who are service first, you know? They're fighting for the country.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, they can go to any VA hospital, and you worked in the VA hospital, so you know, they can go to any VA hospital, but it's been said that they don't get the best of care even in the VA hospitals.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I ended up, you know, ended my career early at the VA hospital. It was my first job right out of high school, and the stuff that I saw was crazy. Straight crazy. And I worked in the kitchen, dietary, but you go up on the floors and the way they are treated is just, it's crazy. It's quite crazy. And then, you know, you hit, you know, and then being there, you know, after a while, you know, you can get attached to the residents. So you hear the stories and forget about it, man. Stories is just crazy how they're treated. It's another level.
Yeah, you do hear about it. You do, you know, it like Al's, you know, Al talked about his uncles, and, you know, people talk, and, you know, when you get into, you get dialoguing with them, you know, it's really sad, the things that you hear. So I can't even imagine working there and, you know, some of those, you know, just watching some of them or just hearing some of them just talk and, you know, just kind of reveal what they've been through and what they're currently going through now. And it's really sad. We are talking about them bonnets in public. Now, you have been consistent in saying you don't even want to come home to your wife in a bonnet.
No.
What's up with that in public?
I told y'all before. See what happens when you allow that home? It's going to spread abroad. And I think some of the church people, you know, they took that song, Something on the Inside, Working on the Outside, and they thought it was going to work. No. Leave it on the inside. Some stuff just don't work on the outside, you know? And like Tanika, I got a song. I don't want no bonnets. Bonnets can't get no love from me. Go back inside. Can't even be a passenger in my ride. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. We even got a bonnet song. Listen, Pastor KL asks, as you know, as pastors, you know, what do we say to people who say, you know, who say, well, listen, Jesus said, come as you are. Well, what do you say then when they show up to church, like, in that come as you are attire?
Well, I totally agree with what you said. You know, if this is all you have right now, listen, come. But months later, listen, you know, you can, there's room for growth. And, you know, you need to bring God your best. Because the truth of the matter is people spend money on what they want to spend money on. And they'll blow money all week long. But then when they come to church, we make George Washington the most faithful. You know what I mean? Nah.
Right.
Listen, and you done blew your money all week long. And trust me, you can find some good deals on dress clothes. Dress clothes really aren't
that expensive. Absolutely. They're cheaper. That's right.
Go to Marshalls. Listen, especially if you're a man, go to Marshalls, and man, listen, you can come out looking like a million bucks. The same ties I used to spend $50 for, they $7 in Marshalls. Go, TJ Maxx. So it's no excuse. It's really no excuse.
You're right. When you add up, I told you, you know, the people have said something to me, and I'm looking at the sneakers on your feet. Now, you didn't tell me you don't have church clothes, but yet I see brand new sneakers on your feet. And I'm like, yo, you know what kind of outfit I could have gotten out of them sneakers you got on your feet? Them sneakers cost you how much?
$200.
Yes. And now you're talking about you ain't got church clothes? No, church clothes are much cheaper than street attire. Much
I'm sorry. I'm not going to Marshall.
I'm not going to march.
Well, you're not a Marshall's man. But for those who can, you know, and who don't want to spend the other money, yeah, you know, Marshall's is the way to go. Marshall's.
Yeah. Listen.
Where are you going to
you
buy your church clothes, Pastor KL?
Well, I'm sorry to sound like this, but most of my suits are made.
You know, put your phone back on mute, please. You know what? You're not helping us at all.
I thought you were gonna
say something when you were gonna reinvent somebody as an alternative, making your suits are not as an alternative to Marshall's. Pastor
now
KL.
Now they're gonna start coming to church with custom made bonnets.
I'm sorry, I get my suits from Alexander's and Woolworth.
You know what? I can't. Alabama don't know nothing about no Woolworth. Oh, my goodness gracious. They had Woolworths down there, too?
Yeah, they had a Woolworth down there. They didn't have Alexander's, but they had Woolworth.
Oh, okay. So they don't know nothing about Alexander's. Nothing about Alexander. I know you get your suits made, but I thought you were going to give them a different alternative. So who's got an alternative to Marshall's and TJ Maxx? Who has an alternative to that? Nobody?
Listen,
There's a store called Portobello, and they have nice suits at reasonable prices.
Oh, yeah, they have some nice and expensive suits down there. Yeah, they do.
Yes, okay. Portobello, I wonder where we got the tuxedos from? But, yes, Portobello, they do have good suits. They're Fino, I think, am I saying Fino, whatever, F-I-N-O. They have some nice. Finos, okay. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Finos, you know they have a nice array of men's attire there. So thank you, Brother Al.
You just gotta be careful because some of them are made by those two sisters, Polly and Esther. So be careful.
You know what? I can't. Ladies, where's a good place to shop for women's clothing?
On a good day, TJ Maxx.
Mm-hmm. You're coming back with TJ Maxx mm-hmm. as well. Okay. Pastor Charlotte, what you got
mm-hmm.
over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Over here, the cheapest is, they call, what's her name? Nicole. It's like a $10. Well, everything in there is not $10. And all you got to do, it's just more or less of not really the amount of money. It's how you put the outfit together. You can get a pair of black pants for the men, and you can take those black pants and get you two blazers, you know, and you can make a suit. And it's about changing your shirt and the tie will make that same silk suit look different. That's all you have to do. You got to know how to work it. And when
Absolutely.
You can take those black pants and you can take that shirt this week, you can take your black pants and you can get you three different shirts. And in those three different shirts, you get three different ties that got those three different colors in that tie. And you can wear that same tie with one of those shirts, and it'll make your outfit look different. As a woman, you can take that black dress and you can take and put it with a jacket, wear it by itself. You can put a jacket with it with a different color. You can take a blouse and put it on top, and it will look like a shirt and skirt. Know how to work it. Then you take your accessories, okay, and change your accessories around. Know how to work it.
You can tell Pastor Charlotte
All
just a
right. Well, she said that. She has said that several times. She said she has dressed her husband. Yes. All right. Well, you see how she gets it done. Well, listen, you have just, the Due Time crew has just told you how to go to church inexpensively. All right. So, my Due Time crew, this is how paying tribute to our Memorial Day and talking about bonnets on the outside and how to get them church clothes together. Thank you so very much. Can you believe we've eaten up 2 hours already? Wow. Oh, have a blessed day, everybody. Enjoy your Memorial Day. I hope you can cook out today. Hope you got those grills.
We got your
city
phone.
Trend.
I think you
saw you too.
Thank you. Wait, what did you say, Pastor Charlotte?
I said check your phone. I sent you something. Me and you going to hang out. Check your phone.
Okay, dokie. Thank
have
you.
A good day,
thank you
it's
so
barbecue
much.
Barbecue and bonnet today. Barbecue and bonnet today.
Yes.
Make sure
exactly.
You in your backyard. Don't take the bonnet to somebody else's backyard. Take the bonnet to your backyard.
I'm coming,
have a blessed day,
I'm coming
everybody.
To your house.
Ooh, with a bonnet on. All right. Enjoy. Have a blessed day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Can you believe we are through the whole 2 hours already? Let's say good morning to Shantice as we get that switch tip. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us today?
I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 56 is stop getting distracted. That is a word that God has been slapping me with for the past 2 weeks. I have really been allowing so many different things to throw me off my game. The definition of distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else, or extreme anxiety or nervous excitement of the mind or emotion. Now, this verse, these next two verses I'm about to give is very common. I believe I've given it in previous switch tips, but it's be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And that's taken from 1 Peter 5:8-9, New King James Version. I had to bring that up again because a lot of us have to be reminded. Sometimes we lose focus of this because he distracts us from this. But this is his job. All day, every day, whether we're awake or asleep, whether we're in service or not, whether we're at work or home chilling, this is the enemy's job, to just walk around and see who he can help to throw their game off. This is all he does. So we have to keep these two verses in the forefront of our mind. Anytime we realize that we're being distracted, or when God has us minister to someone else about them being distracted. Proverbs 28:14, English Standard Version, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Calamity is an event causing great and often sudden damage or distress, a.k.a. disaster. So I'm going to read it again with that definition in it. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into disaster. And I have to tell y'all that when you allow the enemy to distract you, or when you allow your flesh to distract you from what God needs you to do, the only thing you're going to be faced with is damage and disaster. Nothing good comes out of being distracted. Pay attention to what the definition means. If you're supposed to be on path A, and for whatever reason you start veering off, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing anymore. You're not looking at what you're supposed to be looking at anymore. You're not focused on what you're supposed to be focused on anymore. And I have been noticing that with myself. Philippians 3:18-19, Message Version. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. And again, when you allow yourself to be around people, places, and things that help you to step up off your game, lose your focus. All they try to do is take you down the road that they want you to be on, where we're learning as Christians that even though our end goal is the same, which is to make it into the kingdom, our paths and our walk might be slightly different. So I cannot be around you if you are now trying to have me do what you do. And you could be another Christian. It doesn't even have to be where I'm a Christian and you're a non-believer. It could be another Christian, which is also scary and sad. But I have to make sure that I'm focused on what God has me focused on. God has never had me take all of the steps that other people have had to take. I've had 2 vehicles, never had to finance. I've learned how to run a home without having to own my own home first. There's so many things that God has me doing that if I allow myself to continue to be distracted, I'm going to take myself through so many different steps and through so many different processes that I don't have to go. And now I'm sitting here mad, nasty, angry, because when you start walking on the lane of disaster and damage, there's no happiness. There's no smiling. You're upset. You're mad. You're angry. You're bitter. You're all the things that God tells us to make sure we stay away from. So I came up with 5 quick tips on how to make sure that you do not get distracted. And yes, this is what I use. And try it and let me know what you think. So tip 1, set up a regimen of study time, prayer time, and quality time with God and actually stick to it. If you don't know how to do this, study how Jesus did it. Jesus had a regimen as to when he prayed and when he went over God's word and when he spent time with God. Go over that. Tip 2. Cut off all places and things that take you away from that regimen. And do not be afraid to throw up the deuce sign to the person or people or places or things that you can tell is helping to take your focus off of spending that quality time with God. Tip 3, memorize Bible verses that keep you in check and challenge you. You're going to have to recite them out loud. The only reason why I'm able to call out certain verses, it's not because I want to sound good. I can care less about impressing people in that manner. It's because I got to, a lot of times, just throw these verses out loud to help God help me. You know, I need you to check me, God. I need to say this so that I can remember who I belong to, what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm not supposed to be going. Tip 4, keep yourself busy in the assignment or duties God has given you. If you don't know what your assignment or your duties are, spending time with God will help you find that out. You see how this is just a circle of life? It takes you back to quick tip one. You have to spend time with God in order to understand. He has to put you on as to what your assignment is, but how is he going to let you know if you don't spend any amount of time with him? And tip 5, go back and listen to every switch tip. God has given us, as of today, 56 switch tips. So, you know, you don't even have to always, I mean, you do, don't get me wrong, but you don't even have to always go to the Bible, especially with me. I love reading my hard, my physical Bible a lot of times, because I love reading the reference verses. And when I'm not in the house, you know, I can always pull up, you know, my Bible apps and Google if I have to look up something real quick or I want to read something while I'm out. But then I can also hit that Apple Podcast app or go back to Blog Talk Radio or whatever and, you know, go on my notes and see, okay, I need to adjust my playlist because now I'm listening to a song I have no business listening to, or, you know, I got to remember, you know, watch out for my triggers because I'm playing around my triggers. And I can just go back. God has prepped us. Look at how he just helps us build so many topical Bibles. Go back and listen to any one of the, out of 56 switch to this, something that can check you. Trust me, because he has me going back to them often. Okay, so we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision to make this switch of not being okay. But let me tell you something, especially if you call yourself a Christian, God is going to let you know when. God is going to let you know when you're falling off. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision to making the switch from losing our focus to making sure that we're not getting distracted. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Wow, we got tips in the switch tip. All right. Thank you so very much. Have a blessed one.
You.
Ah. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me. Wait, hold on. Say it again. respond again. Have a good one.
You too.
All righty. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty. Well, I didn't know that I had to get a benediction today. So I will give you the normal one. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. You know, we have to give God thanks, you know, for all that we get, all that he gives. But, you know, we look at the things that other people do and, you know, we say it wouldn't be us, it couldn't be us. And, you know, Brother Al has described, you know, talking to his uncles, and I'm sure, you know, all of us can really reflect on talking to someone who has given their life for this country. And, you know, just like was said, you know, you can't even imagine what that's like. You can't even imagine going away and seeing the things that they see. You know, how there must be some level of fear or trepidation when it comes to, you know, being out in, you know, no man's land. And, you know, they don't get to eat, you know, what we eat necessarily, or, you know, they don't know if they're going to make it back home to their families, or if something may happen to their family and they are not able, you know, to get to their family. You know, it's trepidation sometimes even thinking about it. You know, Pastor KL, who has two sons who have served, you know, it's got to be pretty unnerving at times to know that they are away and you have no say. You can only pray to God and ask God to cover your children. You know, how many times, you know, have you seen on the news where, you know, they've had to make a trip to someone's home to give them that kind of news? And, you know, you're never prepared for anything like that. You know, so, you know, it's, again, whatever we can do, you know, it's a call to order for we as Christian people. What can we do? What can you do to help make that difference in someone's life who's gone through that, you know, who can't seem to get it together because, you know, this is an experience that they've had, and now they, you know, they can't run from it. You know, they can't leave it. Or they may be medicating themselves. You know, we can't fathom that. There's nothing we can do to get ourselves and put them in, you know, no matter how much Pastor KL loves his sons, he can't be them. He can't be them. He won't know what it was like to experience that. You know, so it's something that, you know, we definitely need to pray for. So, you know, when we're talking about praying for them, let's pray for them also. Let's pray for them who, you know, go into the armed forces, who sign up and decide, you know, I'm going to give my life for this country. And, you know, you've made that decision as well. You've made the decision to give your life to God, to Jesus. And now that makes us the keeper of this world. Yes. You know, how can we keep the world? I'm only standing in, you know, in Queens. How can I do that? Well, again, prayer. Get, you know, roll your sleeves up And, you know, how can we get involved with helping to make things better? You know, there are so many thoughts I have that God has given me. I won't take, you know, I won't take credit for it. But so many things that God has given me, you know, how to help the community. And when you help the community, you're definitely helping people who have served this country. You know, today is the day that we completely focus on the fallen, you know, the fallen soldiers, the ones, as Tamika said, who never got a chance to take their uniform off, and as well as those who are not ill because of that, you know, or who have died later, who did take off their, you know, their war clothes and, you know, were left with a mesothelioma or Agent Orange or some mental illness or, you know, because if you died from alcoholism because of what did the trauma, it's the same concept. You know, so it's a prayer time that we need to come to, and we have to make sure that we keep them lifted. You know, can we do something in additional to what, you know, prayer does? Can we put hands on and help to make a difference? Absolutely. So let's figure out and let's find out what can we do. Can we volunteer? Can we get this done in a godly way where God's people are standing up, not just people who have had families, you know, in the military and, you know, and now they owe it. No, we all have, you know, something that we need to give back. So let's, you know, pray and ask God, what can we do? Please like us on Facebook, A Closer Walk Media Network. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Every time you open up that link, press that pink follow button, and you will be notified each and every time we upload a new episode. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life or A Closer Walk Media Network. All right, make sure you go into, you know, that post for the day and give your comments, okay? Go back and listen to past episodes. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, go back and listen to the switch tips. Go back and listen to the past episodes. They are fantastic, and you will definitely get a lot from it. Please go to iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show and let people know why you listen to It's Due Time. Tune in tomorrow, God spares, for Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. We've been having some really, really, really good conversations. And, you know, don't hesitate to send in 347-285-7777, 347-285-7777. Send in your suggestions. You know, God put something on your heart that you'd like for us to talk about. You know, you want to know if it's just you. You know, we'll, you know, God will have his say when it gets to our side. And, you know, hopefully we'll talk about it. All right? So let's make sure we get that done. So, you know, we love to have you with us. Could not do it without you. And, again, we say salute to our Memorial Day individuals. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me with our little Memorial Day tribute today. And that shout out again to all of those who have fallen for the country. Thank you so much for listening and joining us today. And remember, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, I love you.